Okay. First, as I might have mentioned already, I'm not sure I did in the last couple of days, but you know that I have certain pet peeves. And my biggest pet peeve, as Schleien will tell you, is Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. You once made fun of me in Shir for that, deservedly so. In the best line, of the best zinger in all of Shir this year. Deserved. So, the second pet peeve I have, not in the same Myla, is the campaign to rename the Tinek Mikvah. Which, of course, to rename it the Tinek Mikveh. Okay? Because the word Mikveh is Lashon Zachar, not Lashon Nekeva with the Segel. And the proof of that is that it is not Mikvas Yisrael, but Mikveh Yisrael. And if it were Mikvah, then Nisvach would be Mikvas. And when you talk about a Mikveh being Kosher or Pasul, you don't say Ksher or Psula, if you're being careful. You say Kosher or Pasul, and that would be correct. Interestingly enough, Ma'ayan presents us perhaps with a similar conundrum. In that, what is the plural of Ma'ayan? Of course, everyone thinking, you know, the high school, Ma'ayanos. That's not part of my campaign, because the word does exist. I don't know if it exists in the Nifrad form, but it certainly exists in the Nismah form. Bayom hazeh nifka'u kol Ma'ayanos tohom rabah. So, but that's the Nismah. However, as you do know, it also appears in another form where Ushafta Mayim Bisason Mima'ayne HaYeshua. So, and therefore, it also appears to be masculine. Now, you do have the form, the singular, I believe, has the adjective Tov by the story of the war against Moab, V'chol Ma'ayon Tov Tistomu. Right, that's the one thing we do, Baltashchis against Amon Amov. That's Sidrosh Shalom Amatov Asam Kayim Echad Alam. So there you destroy the good Eitzim and you seal up the Mayanos. But there it's called Mayan Tov Tistoma, not Tova. So it appears to be a masculine, but for some reason there are both feminine and masculine plurals. We're not talking about Karbonos now. We're only talking about Mikveh and Mayan. So, okay, so anyway. Oh, 1 second.
Enos,
yes. Enos mine, yes. Now, the mem, by the way, is a preformative. I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about the Targum. Eretz Nachale Mayim, I think it's Enon or Enavon or something like that. So the mem is a prefix. It's really Tinok Eshe Yarden L'malach Mayim Min Ha'ayin. Right, hinei anochi nitzav al ein hamayim. So you do have the form without the mem, but even with the mem, you get both plurals. Okay, fine. Now we've been yotzei torah b'chsav. So now we go into torah bal peh. So the Torah does say, though, a little more torah b'chsav. Ach mikve ach mayan uvar mikve mayim yeh tahor. I have some thoughts about that pasuk, but I don't remember what they are. I do. I have a note here. I wouldn't have remembered I had thoughts about this pasuk 5 years ago. The question is, what does that pasuk mean, Apim Pshat? Ach ma'ayon uvor mikve mayim yeh tahor.
Sounds like ma'ayon and uvor are both mikve mayim?
Yeah, I think so. Because ma'ayon, it's not ach ma'ayon, but ach ma'ayon. Kamatz, it's a nifrad. And if you think about the pausal structure, ach mayon uvor, they're both going to be nismach, mikveh mayim yeh tahor. With the reading that Chazal have, it's really mayon, and then bor mikveh mayim. You look puzzled, Danny.
Yeah, what is why would mayon be a someich either way?
No, it's not. The point is that it's a... I think neither's in this mach. I think it's adverbial.
Yeah. I'm saying, why would we expect Mahyam to be a someich? Like, how would we construct a pasuk such that Mahyam would be read as a someich? If you wanted to.
I don't want it to be a someich. I want to read the expression mikveh mayim as adverbial. I'm pointing out that the trup.
Yeah.
The trup is very strange. In fact, I'm just thinking now, I'm starting to wonder if this can be added to the list of situations where there's a machlokes between the trup and the nikud.
You're very brave. It's one thing to lean in front of me, it's another thing to join in my leaning.
Okay.
It's okay, I don't take offense at it. I have enough people I make nervous when I'm around and they're leaning, so I'm glad you're not. Okay. I don't remember. Is it mikveh mayim mukaf?
I thought it was.
Now, if you think about the way Chazal are reading, that a bor is really bor mikveh mayim. If you want to read mikveh mayim, then the trup is wrong. Because the way the pauses work here...
Daron, would you like... Is Daron here?
You could come up into this. Okay. The major pause here is where? What's the melech in the pasuk?
Mayim.
The tipcha is a melech. That's going to be a big line, okay? Now, what's the other? There's only one other pause drop, which is?
Severe.
The severe. Okay, let's call this level one. Call this level two. I have some, by the way, the student who's working for me now is writing software to automatically generate a parsed verse. I'm more convinced that the parsing system doesn't really work, or it doesn't work a lot of the time. Okay, anyway. So now we have Mayan Uvar, Mikveh Mayan. Now, if in fact, the mean, what?
You wrote a segol.
That was the unerased. Tavir. Okay. So now, notice where the pause is. This is a very strange place to put it. So I would have expected... I would have expected something like, I don't know what the trop would have been, but I would have put a melech on ma'ayan, or at least I would have put a level two pause. Tavir, I believe, is a tavir, a mishnah or a shlishi? I don't remember.
Mishnah.
It's a mishnah, so I would have put another mishnah trop here. I'm not sure what I would have made.
Melech and mishnah.
There are kesarim, which is esnachas of pasuk. There are melachim, which is segol, which is also a shalshelis is a segol. Zakef in whatever varieties, katon, gadol, misiga, katon. What? What they call pashta katon is actually not a pashta, it's called a misiga. Misiga katon. And a tipcha is also. The rule, though, those are malachim. I don't remember, then the mishnim, shlishim, and misharsim. I don't remember all what's in mishnah and what's a shalish, and the misharsim are attached to the next word. So, mercha, Munach, Kadma, Yerach Ben Yomo, Flisha Katana, Mercha Chafula, and I'm probably missing one common one in there, Mapach, are all Misharsim. They're attached to the next word. For those who just want to know, for the minute digression on True Kriya Satara, when do you drop a Beget Kefes letter, a Dagesh, at the beginning of a word? Two requirements have to be met. One is that the previous word has to end on a vowel, and number two, it has to be a Misharis, it has to be attached. So that's the list for those who need it.
I
understood all the words in that sense. I know what a Yerach Ben Yomo, you stand on your head, what did I miss here? Mapa and Kadma. Okay, those are the Misharsim. Anyway, so the other trop that I didn't list fall are either Mishnah or Shlishim. I don't remember which will fall to which. Moshe?
Do you say Mercha is connected with the Tipcha always?
It's connected with the next word always. It's not always a Tipcha. Sometimes it's a Tavir. Sometimes it's a Pashta.
So why is there a break in between the Mercha and the Tipcha?
That's not a Mercha. That's a Tavir.
Oh, sorry.
Tavir.
Magical
powers. I write it in erases. Okay, so anyway, Achmayanavar. So the point is that you would have expected somehow, I don't know how, to get a level two pause here. And the way it works when you break it up is you start on the right. The first one you encounter is the bigger break. The way you break the thing to the left that you hit is the same level. The way that you break to the right is down one level. So if there had been a Mishnah under Mayan, then it would have been Ach Mayan. Then it would have been Uvor Mikveh Mayan would be the next unit. But unfortunately, it's a Masharis. So anyway, but I think the way Chazal really understand is it's Ach Mayan and then Uvor Mikveh Mayan. Right? Because a bor is not a mikveh, yes.
Well, how's the
Mikveh work out? I mean, no, also I was going to say was, that I think the pshat, the way the Bali Masara placed the truck, it should have read Ach Ma'ayan, not, and then, because Bor is a Nifrat or a Nismach, it would have been Ach Ma'ayan Uvor of a Mikveh Mayim.
In other words,
Nismach, Patach. It would have been a Patach. It's almost as if there's a machlokas between the truck and the Nikud here. The Nikud is following, I think is more Chazal's reading, that it's a Bor Mikveh Mayim and a Ma'ayan.
Do we find something similar to Nismach?
Yeah. Yeah. With a vav, sure. I think so. I think so. Anyway. I don't have off, I don't have the top of my head, but yes, Sam.
In this case, the shrub works less well because I'll...
Nikud works better, I think.
Sometimes it's the
opposite. Correct. Well, yes. I have only a handful of examples of this. You know, where, again, it's not in Chazal reading, it's two possible readings. Ma'aseh Harash Evan. If you think about that one, there, it should have been, the way the truck reads, as Rashi explains correctly, it should have been Ma'aseh Harash, comma, Evan, adverbial. But instead, we have Ma'aseh Harash Evan. Harash Evan is a Harash is a Nismach.
Does the truck carry that off?
What?
Does the truck carry that?
No. Ma'aseh Harash Evan.
Wait,
it should have been Ma'aseh Harash Evan. What? No, it's the katol form. It's the ganav pattern of an uman, and then because of the guttural, it turns into harash, not harash, and then because of the nismach, it now turns into harash.
I got confused because there was a kamasal
bala here. Yeah. It wasn't a prisoner exchange. It was two separate changes. Ruven?
Can I just raise the more problematic view that Chazal were not being so masculine exactly the way the pasuk was written, instead had a basara?
Fine. I'm just thinking about how the pasuk reads, how Chazal. You do want to think about how Chazal are reading the pasuk. That's all.
Are they reading the pasuk or are they reading into the pasuk?
I have no way of knowing that. I always like to think. I said this before with respect to Gzeirah Shavas and other contexts. Chazal were really fine textual readers. And I think that sometimes, if you start to think really carefully about a lot of things in Torah Sheba'al Peh, their roots can be found in readings of Torah Shuchzab. Can I prove that it wasn't the Masorah that going backwards? No, I can't. But I'd like to try to find where I can its roots, because I think some of it's really there, because they were such careful textual readers. Yes?
Mayan with a kamatz, he said it's Nifrad?
Yes, Nifrad.
And therefore, it wouldn't be part of... It wouldn't be
Ach Mayon, Uvor Mikveh Mayon.
And you said, so then Bor, what do you function as?
Bor can be either one. Bor is ambiguous.
But it would be
you can have a Bor Mayim or just Bor.
Right, but I'm saying, but if meaning it,
so it, the way the Trup reads, I would argue it's Ach Mayon, Uvor, Nifrad, and Mikveh Mayim is adverbial, rather than being a nominal. The Mikveh Mayim would be describing Bor and Mayan.
And that's according to...
Well, you could say, you could say it's adjectival, actually. It is adjectival.
That would be according to the Nikud.
According to the Nikud, yes. According to the Nikud, yes. But according to the Trup... No. So what I'm saying is the following. If you read according to the Nikud... As we have, and as the way we have it with the Nikud and the Trup, Mikveh Mayim is an adjective that modifies both Mayon and Bor. Let me tell you why was I thinking about this issue. Because on some level, if Mikveh Mayim is to be understood as a certain amount of water that has gathered there, then the machlokas harishonim, in effect, depends on how you read the pasuk. In other words, does a mayan ever require mikveh mayim? That's a machlokas, the Rambam and the Raibit, against the Balei HaTosfos. Right? The Balei HaTosfos claim that you need 40 sa
for Adam. It seems midaraisa by Mayan. It's only kelim. Or put differently, for the Balei HaTosfos, min haTorah, there is no chiluk in the shear of mayim between a mayim and a mikvah. Min haTorah. Why? Because kelim always min haTorah only require a revius, and Adam always requires arbaim sa. Right. In other words, for Tosfos, Mayan and Bor have the same din, min haTorah. Not with respect to everything, but with respect to shear. If that's what mikveh mayim is, a gathering of water.
Even for person requires no bit.
For the Balei HaTosfos, a mikveh, a mayan requires arbaim sa for tfilas adam. A kli, when is a mayan mitaher b'chol shehu, according to Tosfos? By kelim. What's the din of mikveh by kelim, min haTorah? That's the Gemara Psachim. Revius. The Gemara Nazar says that Chachamim Mavatel Revius. Right? So according to the Balei HaTosfos, this works well. Ach ma'ayon uvor mikveh mayim. But according to, in some sense, the Rambam and the Raavad Shita, there's ma'ayon, and then there's a bar mikveh mayim. Why? Because mayon has a shear of kol shehu, and a mikveh and a bar has a shear of arbaim sa. They're not the same din. They're two separate dinim, because by tfilas adam, a bar requires arbaim sa. By tfilas adam, a mayon is b'chol shehu. It's just enough to immerse the body.
That's according to who?
The Rambam and the Raavad.
The disagreement is about Mayan doesn't require
47. Is Mayan parallel to Bor or not with respect to Mikveh Mayan?
Okay.
Now, there's another din, by the way, which I think is also based upon this, which everybody is going to have a problem with, even the Balei HaTosfos, because there is some place where Bor and Mayan have a very different din. No. Eshboren. Now, I would argue, what's the sort? I haven't seen any Rishon, and I haven't looked well enough. Firstly, what is Eshboren? Let's start with that. Let me say the following. There are two differences, it appears, as presented, but one might only be the Rabbanon, between Mayan and Mikveh. Okay, what are the two differences? Number one is the Shir, Arbaim Sa versus Kol Shehu. Number two is Eshboren versus Zohalin. So just explain, what is the distinction being made? Daniel?
Mayan can be mitaher either Zochlin or Eshboren,
right.
Whereas a mikveh requires Eshboren.
Right, a mikveh requires Eshboren. The waters have to be still. That's why when they find a crack in the mikveh and discover a slow leak, guess what? Mikveh's puzzle. The women who went when the leak was there have to go to the mikveh again. Because that's called Zochlin, because the water is flowing slowly. There's a question, if the leak is not in the ground, but it's in the water, it's somewhere on the walls, if you might be okay, maybe, if you have 40 saw below the leak.
How does that work with that shaka then?
That's a question. I don't remember what the din is there. What?
How does that work with that shaka then?
Hashaka, nothing is flowing. In other words, hashaka is a closed system. Just because I open the little thing between two of them, you don't get flowing water.
But then... Doesn't that mean by definition that there's some water that's shehuvim?
Right. No, it's once the waters touch, whether you do or don't put the plug back in, a pastor says you could even put the plug back in, but we're machmir not to. As soon as those waters touch, so the mayim shehuvim in the bar that are nitar through hashaka to the mayim in the mikveh. But it's not a flow back and forth. There are two pits next to one another. As soon as you open it up, they reach an equilibrium quickly. That's all. That's not called zochalan. Zochalan means when the water is flowing in and out, water's flowing out of the chamber. Maybe flowing in too. Yes?
So if the water is very turbulent and violent, but it's not going anywhere, if there's a storm...
I don't think that's called zochalan. I don't think so. If it's contained within a, you know, a no distinguishable area, you see.
How does the word Eshboren mean still?
I haven't the slightest clue. I wonder about that. But I want to know what's the makor for Eshboren. And here, here is no. Yeah, mikveh mayim.
Mikveh mayim itself.
Like kavi v'kaime, as they say. I think it means it's gathered. Right. In other words, it means to stand in one place, in effect. Yes, I didn't think about that. That's good. Yikavu amayim mitachas hashmayim makom echad. So there, in particular, it's a problem because it really should have been achmayon uvar mikveh mayim. Now, what?
Is that why all the yamim are considered a mikveh?
Except for it's a machlokas whether they consider mayim a mikveh.
Okay, but for that
sheetah. What do you mean? Because I think they quote the pasuk. It's a mishnayis. Look at the Mishnah quotes that pasuk. Yes, I think so.
Yeah, I think.
Hold on. I'm pretty sure. It's a three-way machlokas atanoim. About yes, no, some yamim, others not. I think they quote the pasuk.
The Rashba quoted that.
He just assumes for his raya that it's dino kamayim. Oh no, let me take it back. No, he does. He says in Tibsa Lomar that it's like a mikveh, then you have a problem of Zochalin. By the way, that raya of the Rashba, the Tosos Shantav never saw it, and he didn't see it in Tosos, and he complains, and he wonders why nobody said it. He thinks this is a better raya than the other raya they bring, and it turns out the Rashba said this. And he just the Tosfos Yom Tov just says in Perakei that this is obviously the shita that holds mayim, because otherwise if the water is flying in the air, then how can it be mitar as a mikveh? It's not beshborin, it's zochalin. It must be that the ocean is a mayim, and then there's a havamina here. So anyway, kol hayamim kemikveh shenemar ulamikveh mayim kara yamim divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hayama Gadol Kamikva, Lenemer Yamim El Sheesh Bamina Yamim Harbe, Rabbi Yosef Omer Kol Hayamim Mitarim Bezochalin. Okay, yes.
So, my understanding from the Sifra and what we're saying is that it sounds like, because I was saying that there's three types, but you're saying that Mikva Mayim is modifying either Bor...
Or Bor and Mayon.
Right, but it sounds like Mikva Mayim can be its own category also.
No, then what's Bor? See, Mayon Ubar are the two. What's the difference between a Mayon? Let's talk about Pshat here. And Achazal are not oblivious to this. What's the difference between a Mayon and a Bor?
The Mayon's
being big. No.
Yeah.
Yes, that's sort of true. But let's talk about the water source. By the way, you're not correct, by the way, about... that one is dug. The discussion, in other words, you can dig out a spring. I believe that if you dig out a well and the water is groundwater that's bubbling, that's coming out of the ground, that's called a mayan. Right? And mayan doesn't have to be bubbling over.
Can you,
what's that? Yeah. I understand. It's meant to, it's transmitting me, but the sound is old. So a mayon, by the way, in language of Chazal, by the way, what are the two words? If you learn Abravin, the second parak, you'll see. What are the two things called? One's called a bor and one's called a be'er. And a be'er is from groundwater. A bor is a cistern, and it accumulates rainwater and runoff or directly. So the pshat in the pasuk is a mayon and a bor, which accumulate water. Now, I would argue that, so that's clear, that's what a bor is. I would argue that Chazal's understanding, mikveh mayim, the requirement of only having eshboren by what we call a mikveh, is because that's modifying bor. Bor requires kaveh v'kaime. Mayon doesn't require it. Some of that also is by its very nature, because when you have a bor and the rainwater accumulates, what is the nature of the water in there? Is it flowing or still? It's obviously still. When you have a be'er, a difference between a mayon and a be'er is probably the level of the water, of the volume of the water. Right? A be'er, and not enough water is being sort of coming out. It's not being pushed and bubbled forth, so it stays there. But you can keep drawing from it until the table, the level of the water table on the ground dips below it. Mayon is being probably projected by volcanic, you know, or tectonic forces, whatever is being heated, and something is pushing it out. Right? That's what Yellowstone, that's what the geysers are. You know, and those are an extreme manifestation of that, yeah.
Earlier you mentioned how Zohar might also be if something's going into it.
Well, no. I think Zohan is only if there's outflow. If there's no inflow, it's not going to exist very long.
No, meaning, like, if it's currently raining, it still could go into the mikvah, right?
Correct. Right. Now, the Zohan is determined by out, not by in. Okay. Right? If you had a lake, although I don't know how this is possible, which is that there's only one that's possible. It's called the ocean or the seas. But if you had a lake which only had an intake and not an outtake, well, eventually the lake would flood everything. But it's normally lakes, almost by definition, have an outflow. Yeah.
Right,
so I would say the ocean works by evaporation. By a lake, it's...
A lot of lakes are in basins.
Right. I understand. I got it. I understand. It's just that most lakes, the evaporation is not going to happen fast enough that if you don't have an outflow, you're going to wind up with lakes that are rising, you know, a great degree.
That's pretty much the definition of an endorheic basin.
What's that?
The definition of an endorheic basin is that it has an...
Of a what basin?
Endorheic.
Okay.
It's got an inflow and no...
Right, so most lakes that you know about and most lakes you will encounter actually have an outflow.
Wait,
right?
What do you mean by that? Where is it going?
A lake that has a river or a stream flowing into it almost always has a stream flowing out of it somewhere. Right? Not saying it's impossible. You know, there probably are some lakes in the world. There certainly are some lakes in the world not. But typically, if you have a source of water where there's no outflow, if you go in this area and there's no outflow, like in a pond, it probably doesn't have a river flowing into it. It's filled by rain, either by tap water or by rainwater. And, you know, it's not enough water coming in. So the evaporation, you know, between the evaporation and whatever water that the rain or whatever it's you fill it, reaches some type of equilibrium. Okay, so anyway, so I haven't seen anybody talk about it. I assume that a be'er has the din of mayon, even if it's not overflowing out of. I think that's pretty clear, actually. Yes?
So why don't we dig, holes below our mikveh? Wouldn't that make everything a lot simpler?
I think it's the second half of your sentence I take issue with. It doesn't make a lot of things not simple. You know, I have a very simple solution, by the way, that works halachically to dealing with filling mikveh. Just fill the rainwater pit with ice, with large chunks of ice, and let it melt. And that works. But for some reason, they don't think to be very practical. I'm not really sure why, but it's not. So I think digging into the ground till you...
You just snowblower. Like the snowmakers that use for, like, they just keep receiving things. That's the easiest way to do it.
Well, that's very easy, yes. As the construction workers, before the construction workers wall up the wall to the bar next to it, we'll just get all of us with our toros or our craftsmen, and we'll just blow snow in there. Okay, sure. That's very practical. I'm beginning to think digging a hole 50 feet down is even more practical. Okay? And the bottom line is it's actually expensive to dig down. And it may be, you know, it depends where the water table is. And you also, the catch is... You still, I'm not sure how it's going to work because the water's not going to bubble up, right? And to dig the pit all the way down is prohibitively expensive. You know how expensive it is to put in the, the geothermal cooling systems, just to dig down. I don't know, it's not more than 50 feet down just to put the pipes in and so on. It's pretty expensive. So the answer is it's probably simpler to have a little pipe running down from the roof, wait to fill 40 cell. I still don't know why the ice trick doesn't work. Because by my calculations, it probably costs a couple of dollars for a bag of ice in Pathmark. You know, about, you know, 8 pounds of ice you probably get for $1.99. And what?
They'd have to clean it. There's a filtration system, I think, might be the problem still.
No, once you put the water in there, the water's in the bore, in the rainwater pit, it's not going to be any dirtier, any cleaner than the water you get from the ice.
No. I'm saying after people use it a bunch of times, it goes through a filtration system.
Well, that I don't know, but except I don't know, but not the bore of the rainwater, the pit that the people go in. So that water, you can put a plug in the hashaka plug back in. You can empty, drain the entire mikveh that the people use, and refill it with tap water. You pull the plug out, and everybody's happy again.
It's not so efficient.
What's that? With all due respect, I just thinking about the curves that I saw, and in the process, you know, ice. When ice is at its least dense, what temperature of water does that correspond to? Right, at 4 degrees, you hit the bottom. Then it climbs up. Then the freezing process. It's less dense, but it's not. You know, you could still, if the ice is cheap and easy to truck in there, it shouldn't be so hard to fill up. But you just have to wait for it to melt. And you got people standing there with hair dryers, you know, blowing at it. That's all. Yeah.
Ice from Mayim Shulim would still not be considered.
It is not. We'll see. snow and ice. It doesn't matter if it was water at one point, their shelf, it turned into ice.
That, starts melting and turning over, though.
What's that?
There's a little shash that starts melting and turning over.
Refrigerated trucks.
I don't know. Anyway, I think that large blocks of ice, I wouldn't take the little ice from Pathmark. There's no, Olav HaShalom, there's no Pathmark that dates me. Acme. Okay. I don't know. I thought it is. Really? They're still in? Just not in. Oh, I see. Really? I thought they all died. Okay. Anyway, whatever. So take large blocks of ice, wipe them down on the outside so you don't have water on them right before you toss them into the mikveh so you don't have any visible water, and you're good to go. Well, Sam, here's the problem. Problem is that you have to go in that water. In a regular mikveh, you wait as long as you need for it to melt, and then you go in the heated water on the other side of the barrier.
Right.
So now, I would just...
The woman really doesn't like going to the mikveh.
So let me explain. Let me just explain something to you. That if the choice for your wife is going in an ice water bathtub, my suggestion is I can refer you to the RCA Beis Din for writing again, because that's where you're going to wind up. So.
Can you wait for it to like, just like warm up? Wait, wait, like,
yeah.
Iron bar.
Yeah. In the meantime, you can't use your bathtub. But yes, I'm not saying bathtub is okay. Bathtub has been a problem anyway.
There's a whole book that was
written Yes, Reb Chaim Ozer Grudzinski's cousin with the same name. Yeah. Wrote a book. He lived in like in Wichita, Kansas,
Omaha.
I think. Omaha, Nebraska. I forgot the name of the sefer. I once took it out loud. I had a chance to read it. The print is like infinitely.
They're coming out with a lot more manuscripts. There's an article, a really cool article in Shabbat magazine, which. Long story.
I have all day. No. Anyway, yeah, it's how you can make your bathtub into a mikveh. Which was once upon a time might have been a necessity in places where you didn't have mikvahs. Now, you know.
Like in Jerba and Tunisia, where they curl it all out their butt in their house. Put an article in
I think I want to put the internet in Chayrim. I think it's Yatzes Charba Seda. Okay. Anyway, So that's a question of how do you read this pasuk. But the din is a din. The din is that a mikveh requires, what we call a mikveh, which is the Torah's bor, requires eshboren. A mayon does not. A mayon can be flowing. The machlokas about a river between the Rishonim is how to gauge what the source of water in the river is from, and it might depend upon the time of year as well. Okay, so let's now take a look. So with all my, that's why there's an interesting question of how do you parse the pasuk. But I think Chazal parse the pasuk as mayan and ubor mikveh mayim. And hence, certainly a bor requires kaveh v'kaime, it has to be omeh, and a mayan does not. And maybe a bor requires a shear for Adam, min haTorah 40 sa', whereas a mayan might or might not. That's a machlokas harishon. Now, I want to actually throw one other disruptor into the mix. Does anybody hold that tfilas adam and a mikveh min haTorah is less than 40 sa'? Would anybody, if tfilas kalim, the rule, what's the rule by a kli in a mikveh min haTorah? There are two requirements that you need by a kli. Number one, and number two, ma'im shekal gufo shel x olabahin. The question is, once you say that there is a minimum shear of revius, so does that only for kalim, or is that actually the din min haTorah for adam? Min haTorah for adam, what you need only is mayim shekol gufo shel adam olabahem, not a fixed shear, but literally you need shekol gufo shel adam, it has to be tefillah b'vas achas, and you need a revius as well. It's a pretty good bet that unless they make a form-fitting mold to you, you're going to need more than a revius and to be immersed. What's that? Even if it was, it's inconceivable to get it. I agree, but if they made the perfect mold, it was almost like, it would be, yeah, it's impossible. You could do it in 20 saw probably, but you can't do it in revius. The question is there a shear min haTorah of Arba'im saw or not? I know, the question is, what is being learned from the Pasuk, Alex? Is it really 40 saw, or is it mayim shekol gufo shel adam olabahem, but it's not that it's fixed for every person. It means in any situation, sometimes it's 40 saw based upon the water you're in, sometimes it's 20 saw, sometimes it's 60 saw, right? Because your body has to be immersed. Ruben?
What's the 40 saw in Maragnus?
3 cubic amas?
and
cubic feet. In cubic feet, this is the only time it's meant to take out your cell phone and share. Okay, I go to my calculator. Okay, and my calculator says, let's see, 1 point. I'm going to call it AMA 1 3/4 times. Don't give the answer first. Let me do it at least. I'm 1 3/4 and 6 times 1 3/4 will be 5 1/4, right? 9 quarters plus 3 times. 1 second. Where's my times here? Times 5.25. equals approximately 16 cubic feet. Does that help you?
Okay.
You want to know what an inch is? Multiply by 12 by 12 by 12 if you like, okay? Okay, approximately 27,783.00864 cubic inches.
Right now we're just talking about Maya, right?
We're talking about 40 cell right now.
No, we're saying that when we ask is the minimum shear of Rubius and Kolguf Olahem relevant for people as well? That's only for Ma'ayan. Right?
No. Also, no, I'm asking for a mikveh.
For a mikveh, you only need Kolshu. You only need your Rubius plus.
For Kalim, you only need Rubius plus enough to hold the kli. A machat requires a Rubius. And the question is, what about Adam? Adam's not going to fit in a Revius, but is Revius a minimum shear? And then you have to have your body immersed. Is there such a shita?
So for ice, it's around it's a literal metric ton of ice. If you're curious, to get a picture.
Okay. That might be a very rapid way of getting your mikveh. I don't know. A metric ton. You're telling me it weighs a ton.
It weighs a metric ton.
Okay. And how large is it in volume? That's the real issue. What volume of ice? What size would that block of ice be?
That's great. That's going to sound like
a kilo is typically, a kilo of water is a liter, so the volume is.
Would you just give me an answer? I don't want to. I'm going to confuse me. Okay. Yossi?
I asked for Shrubber.
The line of the Kolbis of Olahem, where does that appear?
Brachat es Kolbis Saroba Mayim.
Okay, so.
Mayim Shekol Gufo Shal Adam Bahem. Ola Bahem.
Is that in the
Sephardim? That's a pasuk in the Torah.
Kol
b'saro, ma'im shekol gufo shel adam ol b'hem.
And from that, and drasha is 40 sa.
40, and then they say 40 sa, and the question is maybe that's only midrabanan. I'm not arguing that. In other words, there's a gemara that sounds otherwise. There's a famous gemara. You know my favorite amora, right? Not my favorite amora, the troublemaking amora. Rav Yirmiya, right? And one of the examples he said he was the one who eventually did tshuva. And someone asked him the question. He said, "Kol shiurim shel chachamim kachem, be'arboim sahu tovel, be'arboim sahu chasar kurtav eno tovel." Of which, by the way, there's a funny discussion in the Beis Yosef: is kurtav really a shear? There's a shear to kurtav. Does that mean if you have a mikvah that's 39.99 sa, it's good because it's not chasar a kurtav? So that's not what the Gemara meant. Beis Yosef is correct, and I'm sure the Tashbates meant it anyway. It means anything less than 40 sa. He picked this like smallest shear less. Anything less than 40 sa, no good. Okay, so is that when he says kol shiurim shachachim kachem? That doesn't. I didn't think that meant it's only the rabbanon. I thought that meant it's doraisa. That's the masarna al kasev al chachamim. The chachamim were left to be koveya. What is kabayim shakol gufosh olabahem? But there is an opinion. If you read carefully in the Beis Yosef, it is mashma. I think I can find it. There's one place in the Beis Yosef, it really sounds as if. So he says in the paragraph, mine begins, Umasha Kosav, Va'afim Titbo B'mayin. It's a long paragraph. So he writes, "Ubeperek shlosh aminin amrina and revias the mikvah batule batluha." Mashman de mikveh nami mitaher birevius im kol guf hadavar nitba bo yachol iskasos baba vasachas. Uchida amar kidakamar beperakam and the psachim revius chazal lahatba bo machten de tzinoros. The im kain hai breise de katani de bemikveh boyer by himself mid the rabbanon he ubasar de batlua le revius de mikveh. The afal gav de dorish le mikra asmachta v'almahol. So it sounds, and again, he doesn't specify Adam, but it sounds like he thinks that if Revius is good, min haTorah, for Kalim, it should be good for anything as long as Kol Guf HaDavar Olabo. Daniel?
So he's assuming then that very last line, the judge of Ach Mayan and the Sifra, is an Asmachta.
Yes.
Does that mean he's assuming the other drushes?
Well, let me frame it to you this way. No, he's not. Doesn't apply to Eshbaran and Zohalan. And Teshuvim and so on. Teshuvim might be Asmachta also. That's Asmach Lokas HaRishonim.
What about the other ones of
Rashi? What were the other ones besides those three? Tfisa Siyata Adam and Teshuvim, which is the first part, that's even though it's the Teshuvim, that's all about Teshuvim. The Kankanim on the Gag.
Okay.
And that's all about Teshuvim. Teshuvim, according to many, many Rishonim, is only possible in the Rabbanon. I think it's a majority. What?
So he would say that's also
Asmachta. Right. So let me...
What about the Sfina thing?
That's in a Kli. That's the Oraisa. So let me. I didn't want to say this. Let me step back and mention two other very important details, just that pieces of knowledge you should have. Number one, there is a requirement that goes beyond mikvah. There are three things in the Torah. Well, it's really one, but there are three occasions in the Torah where regular water is not sufficient. And with regards to mikvah, a mikvah is no good, and a mayan might also not be good. And those are the situations where the Torah requires Mayim Chayim. Mayim Chayim is not a brand of soda. But Mayim Chayim is actually a halachic term. What is Mayim Chayim? It means spring water, and it appears to me that it has to A, be clean. That's beferish in the first parak of Mikvaos. It's filthy water, but it's coming out of a spring. It's no good. That's why the oceans are no good for Mayim Chayim. Even if you hold that all the oceans are a Mayan, they don't have the din of Mayim Chaim. I also assume, but I don't know this is the case, I wonder whether a Be'er would constitute Mayim Chaim. But the Torah does say Be'er Mayim Chaim.
What's the definition of clean water?
What?
What's the definition of clean water?
They talk about Mei Mochin. It's in the first paragraph of Moses. It's like the water's cloudy, dirty, filthy, something. How it got dirty, I don't know.
Can't we say all water is dirty?
What?
Can't you say that like to some extent all water is going to have something that's dirty in it?
No, it has to be what, listen, you can sometimes say who jumps in the spring, right? They say they bottle spring water. That's not dirty water. Not muddy water. Mishnah says, the man mehem, mayim meluchim, meluchim and poshrin. They say salty, and poshrin means warm. I don't know if it means supposed to cold, I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know. Would a hot spring be possible as Mayim Chaim? I don't know. Maybe. But with Shehein Tzvila Shein Mitarim Mizochalin, because it didn't Mayim. However, Lamala Mehen Mayim Chaim, Shein Tzvila Lizavim, Vahazai Lemitzorayim, Ukshem Lakadish Bemechata. See, if you learn the Mishnah, you know all three. The Rishonim, when they talk about it, they only talk about Zav, because there's a funny Rashi somewhere. Not that makes you laugh, but. A very unexpected Rashi, okay, in which Rashi says that a zava requires Mayim Chaim, which would wreak havoc. Because if we're being machmer, you just say we want machmer for that part, then we a zava gadola always requires Mayim Chaim. But all the Mishonim reject that. Tosfos says lots of... What?
Also, the fact that we don't keep track of... Well, nice of the fact that even once we're giving Chomer to Rizera, nobody's keeping track anymore, so it might very well be that like a lot of women are zavas in their...
Yes and no. That's a longer discussion. Yeah.
So to be Mayim Chaim, it needs to be spring water and clean, and what else? That's it.
I think it has to be. I think it has to be flowing. I think it has to be bubbling up. And as I think, I'm not sure that a be'er. Maybe be'er would work.
Meaning, isn't that spring water? I don't understand. Here.
In other words,
when you say bubbling up. What does that mean?
In other words, it's not simply the ground water. You know, when you dig down far enough, I think it actually has to be water that's sort of coming out of the earth.
That's spring water.
Yes, yes. I'm not sure for sure. I'm not sure about that.
Spring water and clean.
Right, it has to be din of Mayan, which I think a Be'er has. I'm not sure. I mean, it's when it says by Yitzhak, by Yimsu Sham Be'er Mayim Chayim, does that mean that he just dug down and they found water, or once they broke through, the water then sort of came up? I'm not sure. Sam?
Well, the phrase of, like, it was based by the Rabbanan, is that saying something more than just, like, there's a Darai Samant or Anamant? Because
I hear what you're saying, Sam. I hear what you're saying. That's a very, I don't say radical notion. You're suggesting that maybe that bittul wasn't a derabanan bittul, but that was a deraisa bittul. That was an example in live action of misaron hakasa l'chachamim, and they did away with revius. But then, the question is, where did the shir revius come from? In the first place. You know, one of the interesting things, I have never seen this in print. It's either a chazonish or who wrote... the Kovet Shirim. I want to name it safer. I know Rechon Wasserman wrote it. I think one of those two they talk about suggesting, Rav Shechter's interested in this because he always wants to find the Kein Doraisa. You know, the Tikkun Ramah Kein Doraisa. So the question is, if the Rambam says that any Drasha Doraisa, a basin in another generation can overturn and reinterpret, that's Yiftach Kedorah Kishmo Bedor, Allah Shafet Hashem Ayim Mahim, so how is it that Dinim Doraisa, any basin can overturn? But there are many gzeiros d'rabbanan that no beis din can overturn, or you need gadol b'chacham minyan. So how can you have a gzeiros d'rabbanan that no beis din can overturn, whereas din interpretations of the raisas any beis din can overturn? So he I don't know if it's the Chazon Ish or Rav Chana Wasserman who says that when it comes to things that it's lo masarin hakasav el hachamim, once the chachamim were koveya, then no future beis din can change it. So if at some point the chachamim sat down and were koveya lametes malachos, no beis din later, even gadol b'chacham minyan, is able to change such a thing. So if that's the case, then where does revius come from? If revius is in fact the real shear, so either it's a mesorah, in which case you can't change it on a doraisa level, or if it was an earlier beis din, that's the kind of thing, a shear, that no later beis din should be able to change. So I hear what you're saying. It's a very astute suggestion that maybe bitlua is a very unusual language, suggests that the chachamim was on a doraisa level, and it was chal doraisa level, but I don't think so. I think the way to be shown and take it, certainly it's derabanan.
Could you maybe say that derabanan, like it's a derabanan requirement, but not fulfilling it, there are added stringencies that would make it like a daraisa?
Now you're going to ask the question of when does a gzera d'rabanan have a chalos daraisa? Meaning, yeah. If the chacham mevatel this, what if I take my machat, I put it in this mikveh of revius mayim, then I take it out, and after harav shemesh, I throw it into the azara. And the question is, do I violate a smikdash Hashem timei, and do I get karis? I'll ask Gemara neighbor of it. That's a strange thing, but yes. That's one of Chazal's readings of this, Mikdash Hashem Timei. You take certain Kalim Timeim, you throw them into Azar, you chayv Karis. That's this Mikdash Hashem Timei. So the question is it Chal? I don't know. Right, in other words, the Gemara in Gittin, in the fourth or fifth parak, when they talk about Chata Shnol Dal L'Rabim Shemichaperis Meitikon HaMizbeach, so the question is, can they have Karis Medivrehem? So they laughed at whoever said it. What do you mean Karis Medivrehem? And I think Rava said, what do you mean? Agav Rava said something, don't laugh. That the Chachamim, through Kenyan, changed ownership, and then if you change ownership, you could turn it into Shechut Echotz. But that we understand. The Hefker based the Hefker could affect the Chalos Midaraisa. But I'm not sure by standard fair Xeris the Rabbanan they can do that. That's a little question. There's a famous discussion in Sukkah Daf Gimel. Reb Chaim, I think they quote Reb Chaim about this. It's the Chacham and Pasel the Sukkah. You know, what is it Midaraisa? I think that's the discussion where it comes up. Pashtus says it's hard to believe that by Din the Rabbanan, by Xeris the Rabbanan, they can change a Chalos Daraisa. Whatever. Yes, Chaim?
So the Yuri says that you can, I think I understand somewhere that you can, that if you go against the words of the Rabbanan, like God will smite you, basically.
That's fine, but that's because, that's
because... Like that's the case with Bachar and his, Shabbos.
Shabbos, yes. Yes. Baruch HaMakom Sharaga. Yes.
For some things, like, for example, if you go into a mikveh with a chatzitza that's, let's say, you're not makbid, that's not ruvo, makbid, mito makbid, and you commit, and then afterwards someone has relations with that woman, presumably they're not chayiv.
You know, bria chattas, yeah. You know, bria chattas, I don't know. That'd be cool in bazara. Right? Now, in general, I think the question would not be whether the Chacham always did it. The question is whether they had the power to do it. Right? And I have my doubts. I'm skeptical of rabbinic authority. So, okay. Anyway.
That's a great thing to take out of context.
This is true. Maybe I believe it out of context. Fine. Anyway, so that's number one. There's a din of Mayim Chaim. Mayim Chaim is required in the context of Tevila only for Azav. And it's required also for Hazas Mechatas, for making the Paraduma, mixing the ashes, it has to be Mayim Chaim. And it is required for Taras HaMetzora. Right, the mitzvah needs eight erevs veizovushlin to last two birds, and you shochet al kli cheres amayim chayim. That's point number one. Be aware of. Now, point number two, the din amayim sheuvim. We're gonna one of the upcoming shiurim. I don't remember which shiur it is. We're going to explore shiur number three, mikvaos. We're going to look at this psul amayim sheuvim. So you know that if you you decide you're going to make a mikveh, and you want your pit that people are going to go in or not go in, and you say, well, let's just fill it with water. So the problem is that when you take water in a kli intentionally, it becomes mayim shuvim. If you pour it into the mikveh is no good. Now, the assumption will be also that the water coming through the pipes, probably, so the water system might at some point have a problem being mayim shuvim as well. So that's why we can't just make a mikveh, turn on the tap, and fill it with water. Instead, we need to have this pit that's filled with rainwater. The question is the psul of mayim shuvim daraisa derabanan? Most rishonim, it appears, by my counting, assume that the psul of mayim shuvim in the ground is only midrabanan. So you have to ask the question, well, why did the chachama make a zera if it's only midrabanan? It makes life a nightmare. And life would be so much simpler. Could you imagine if mayim shuvim were impossible? Building a mikveh would just like be building a bathtub. That would be it. There's no complicated engineering. Right? Mikvahs can be especially Chabad mikvos, but not only Chabad mikvos, can be very complicated engineering propositions. Yeah? Chabad builds mikveh agabe mikveh. Maybe we'll have the chance to explore why. If you go to a Chabad mikveh, we once got to see it in Silver Springs, Sandy Springs, Georgia. It's in next to Atlanta. And so if you look at a Chabad mikveh, you will have, there's a lower chamber, and then there's it's a space where the water sits, and then there is a concrete floor is laid above that, like a second story. I mean, the lower story is very, very shallow, and then there's a couple of holes between the upper and the lower level. They fill the bottom one, and once the bottom is filled, they fill with tap water on top. And the amazing thing, for those who know, I was shocked at this, but those who know anything about mixing of water and temperature gradients is that water, if it's cold, typically is cold water, and if you fill the mikveh with hot water, the waters actually do not mix. In a hot water tank, there's a problem on Shabbos, but it happens to be that except for one particular pipe in the tank which presents a problem, if you had hot water in a tank and then you filled in cold water, you let cold water flow in at the bottom, the water, the cold water and the hot water don't mix. It's hard to believe, but apparently it's true. So I will tell you, I heard this once a few years ago. Someone claimed it in discussion. I wasn't there, and I didn't believe it was possible. And when I was in Cornell for Shabbos, so there was a guy there, a firm guy, he's a Baal Tshuva, who was a plumber. And he's thought about this problem and worked this problem a lot, of how do you get hot water for Shabbos, and it's almost undoable. Very, very difficult. But he said that those waters, when you put water in the bottom, you assuming the outtake is near the top and it's taking hot water, you will not be pulling any of the water. When you use half a tank on Shabbos, none of the water that you pulled in, the cold water at the bottom, will you actually pull out. That's what he said. The waters don't mix.
No.
What will happen is eventually it could be the bottom waters get heated. But the waters do not mix. The temperature, it's amazing to me. Someone had said this, who gave us the tour of the mikveh, said, observe this about not mixing, and I thought that to be strange by the bor gabe bor, but apparently it's true. It's kind of amazing. Someone claimed, the first person I heard say this claimed that they've done, that you can do test it with dye. Put dye in the water, and you'll see that the waters don't mix.
There's dye in the water. I was thinking, you could also... I was also thinking, isotopically heavy water, but that also would...
Now, that would, the way you might write. But anyway, so the bottom line is that it would be a less complicating engineering feat if you didn't need Mayim Shuvim, if Mayim Shuvim weren't a problem. Yes, David?
I was just going to ask what the makor is for the Chabad custom.
Well, we will talk about that eventually, I hope. So the question is, why did the, if Mayim Shuvim is only a Psul Rabbanan, why did the Chachamim make such a thing? And the answer, where's the Raisa there? And the answer is Kalim. Tvila in a Kli is no good Minotaur. So one of you asked about the Borsha Besfina. A Borsha Besfina is a Kli. So the Borsha Besfina is absolutely categorically possible for Tvila, Minotaur. Why? Because it's not Bekarka. So, with those points of introduction, let's read the Sifra. Daniel, go ahead.
Mikveh,
it's the Nisma.
No, because the whole point of this is that it only says these words and not, it's not connected to the other one.
No, Mikveh. Mikveh Mayim is not in dispute. Mikveh is the Nisma of Mikveh. Just read Mikveh Mayim. Go ahead. So that means that's the classic Mayim Shuvah. Mila Miktefo means, remember also, today you do not understand how spoiled you are. You know, when you talk about, when we show them talk about the Hefsed in doing Hagolas Kelim, one of the Hefsedim, not a Hefsed of money necessarily, the Tircha, is you have to go fill water. Right? Today, you have to go chop wood. Today, you know what you do? My kitchen, you take a pot, you turn one way to the sink, you turn on the tap. You can, you know, lean half the parsha while it's filling the pot with water. You turn off the tap, you just pirouette, put it on the stove, turn on the knob, there comes the gas flowing, the water boils. It's no tirch at all to be magil kalim. For them, it was a big deal, because when you needed water, you didn't have running water in your house. It really was a tircha, a hefsed on some level. So the point is, minei b'ksefo is the process. You don't just like turn on the tap and fill the water in a tub. You got to go to the river or the lake and put buckets and carry them on your shoulder. That's what minei b'ksefo means. Okay? V'osa mikveh b'tchila, you might think it's good. Tamalomar.
Tamalomar mayam. Mamayam b'dei shamayim, af mikveh b'dei
shamayim. Okay. Just as a mayan is bidei shemaim, a mikvah is bidei shemaim, and this is bidei adam. E.
Ima mayan shein bo tfisa bidei adam, af mikvah shein bo tfisa bidei adam.
And what does that mean? What does tfisa asriyat adam mean? So this is... So the question is, what exactly does human involvement mean? You know where we talk about tfisa asriyat adam. It means something very... And it has ramifications here. Let me ask the following question. You know... It's a given. It's a given, and the Sefer doesn't even say this. What if you dig a pit and the rainwater fills it? Is that called Tfisas Yad Adam?
I'm going to say no. But
well, I would have said perhaps yes, but I will tell you, you know where that comes up? I think it comes up in Avodah Zarah, where whether something is Nesar, I think it comes up in Avelus in Sanhedrin. One second. People used to believe in all sorts of medicinal cures and superstitions. They came to Shmuel and said, people are taking dirt from the grave of Rav to use it for fever.
Relics.
What's that? It's like relics, sort of, yes. Yes. So, Kivrei the Rav, it's Memzayin of Abayz in Sanhedrin. Habu Shakli Minei Afra Li Shasa, Bas Yoma, first day fever. Asu Amr Le Lishmuel, Amr Le Yeus Avdin, Karak Olam Uva, Karak Olam Inan Aseres. And he says that just as Avodas Kochavim is not, he quotes a Pasav, just as Avodas Kochavim is not B'mechubar, it's not Nesa, as it says, Asher Atem Yoshim Arsam Es Elohim, Al Heorim Arimim, Al Heorim Elohim, Velo Heorim Elohim, Hachinami B'mechubar Lo Mitzar. But once you dig this stuff out, Pashas is that has what we call Tfisas Yada Adam, and it's Nesar. So that's often what Tfisas, they don't use the expression here, I think it's used elsewhere. Having Tfisas Yada Adam, you could have said by a bore even means if you dig it out. So the Sfarvar's example, though, is not even digging out. It's taken as a given if you dig out that that is still good. You can make a mikveh that way, and you can expand a mayon that way. More, we'll have to deal with that at a later point. Anyway, so what would the case be? Yatza. So what is this din? You don't know the din here from the sifra. You're only getting a little shmijik. What is this din? You put your kankanim, your pots, your jars out on the roof. Why did you put them out?
To
lanagvam, which is to dry them out. And what happens?
It rained.
It rained. Now, the din happens to be, when that happens, as long as you don't pick them up. If you pick them up and pour them into the mikvah, that makes it mayim shuvim. If you take a makel and you smash it right there and the water flows into the mikvah, perfectly fine.
What if you tip it over or something?
I think you're allowed to tip it as well. And you can't pick it up off the ground. Yeah. Once you pick it up off the ground, that's considered to be the adam. When you don't, it's tfisas, there's a tfisas yaradam involved, there's human involvement on some level, and even less of an issue probably if you dig in the ground and the rain fills it. But now there's tfisas yaradam on the mayim, really. So the din is that it's fine. Tam alomar, a boar. Now this is, I think, the point. What makes a boar tfisas yaradam? Because you dig the boar. Right, that would normally be called tfisas yaradam, because you dig it in the ground. If there were natural indentation, a natural valley, and it rained in there, that's not tfisas yaradam. But a bor is dug. It's a cistern. Yes.
So when we say at the beginning of this sentence that a mayan doesn't have tfisas yaradam, what do we mean by that?
Because a mayan, normally just the spring water bubbles, there's typically, if a mayan is a place in which you can do tefillah, it's because the water bubbles out of the ground. It's like a hot spring where you can go in. Because there's a natural crevice or fissure in the ground, and the water bubbles out and fills it, and you go in.
You had a mayan that didn't have so much water in it. I don't know if this is possible.
Yes, go ahead.
And then you put a whole bunch of lime juice in it.
The Mishnah will talk about that. Yeah, it's kosher. That's the... That,
so ain't both feet...
One second. Excuse me. Excuse me. Did you read the Mishnah, Miklos?
Yes.
That's the Mishnah.
No, but
a mayan shemei mabuatan v'rabu alav mayim shuvim.
We say that a mayan doesn't have tfisa yidei adam. That's like a metzias.
The initial, correct. Okay. And a boar is a metzias observation also. A boar is not a naturally occurring thing. How do you get a boar? The Torah says, ki yichre ish boar. Right? Okay. So, the Sifra continues.
Ibor yachol af bor shebisfina yehi tahor. Tamad lomar mayan. Ma mayan sheikaru bakarka af mikveh sheikaru bakarka.
Right, so that is l'chul alma din daraisa. That in a kli, you can't go to the mikveh in a kli. The issue with the bathtub will be, A, whether it's mechuber l'karka, and B, even though it's mechuber l'karka, our bathtubs certainly, most of them, unless you get like the old style, you know, that sits on legs and is not sort of built in, well, once upon a time, that bathtub was a kli before you built it into the house. What is the status of that? But if it weren't for that, in theory, if you opened up the skylight over your bathtub and you let it rain in, it should be good as a mikveh if it's large enough. I don't know if it's quite large enough. You need a big bathtub. Hot tub. Yeah? I don't know whether there's arbaim sa'ah in a bathtub. I don't, you know, it doesn't matter. Let's say you have a big enough bathtub. You have a king-size bathtub.
Well, swimming pool.
If you leave your swimming pool has no cracks, and you empty your swimming pool, and then you let the rainwater accumulate in it, probably no human being will want to go in it. But if they did, you could use it as a mikveh. Yes?
So, mechubar lekarka doesn't mean that it's actually touching like the ground. It just means that it's...
It's in the ground. It's fixed into the ground. If it's not ground itself, which a typical mikveh was, a typical mikveh is you dig a cistern and then maybe you'd coat it with, let's say, you know, plaster or something like that to prevent seepage. So a bor is the ground.
So I mean like a yeah.
But even if you pour concrete into the bor, that's also not a problem. Yes.
So why should the swimming pool with cracks be a problem? It'll just become like the ground.
What's that?
Why should a swimming pool with cracks be a problem? Like the ground.
Because if you have a mikveh in the ground, where the water is seeping out in any noticeable fashion, it's no good.
So how do you make mikvehs? You need to have like plaster or something as a requirement for mikveh.
Correct.
Just like if you just have like a pit in the ground, you pour water, it'd be possible.
Probably, because the water's going to... Right. And the only question will be, if the seepage is so slow that it's not nikar, then it might be that that's not called zohalin anymore. Yeah. I mean, unless I'm wrong in saying that once it's in Karka Mamish, there's no such thing as Zoch. No, but it's not true, because rain rivers are the same Achloka. So yeah, correct. You have to assume that if there's seepage, it cannot be Nikar. Okay, continue.
Oh, ma ma yan matahir b'cholshu, af mikveh matahir b'cholshu, v'tamad omar ach ma yan.
Now, the problem is the following for Rabbeinu Tam and crew. What does this mean when we say Mayim's Mitar B'choshu and a Mikvah is our Boim Sa'at? Now, it seems to be based upon a Pasuk. Or the Makor is not in this Pasuk, but we're saying Ach. Ach means that a Mikvah is not Mitar with Kolshu. So the question is, what's the Din D'Oraisa by Mikvah? Now, you can't take the Sifra. What type of tefillah is the Sifra talking about? Tefillas Adam, tefillas Kim, tefillas both. What would you say?
Definitely Adam, maybe Kalim also. Definitely.
So there's no reason to assume it's only talking about that it's only talking about Adam. In fact, one would add, I think, that if you look in the Psukim, you look in the Psukim, that parsha is dealing primarily with, I think, Tumas Kelim. But either way, it certainly deals with Kelim, not just Adam. And if so, if the Sifra is talking about Kelim, well then what can you say about this drasha? The Beis Yosef said it. It has to be an Asnachta. Why? Because we know that Kelim for a mikveh only require revias. That's pretty clear.
Why are we inclined to say that this is, you know, because the context is talking about Kalim, therefore the Sifra also has a line of Kalim?
Yeah, the Tefillah, I would say the Sifra is both. So the question is, if this din is only an Asmachta Lagabe Kalim, is it only an Asmachta Lagabe Adam? Does Adam require a Barim Sam in a Torah? Yes.
I think Ach Mayim might mean that you need some shear less than a mikvah.
No, I understand them, but we know that a mikveh requires only revias.
Okay.
For Kalim. That's what Gemara Pesachim says.
So they gave a different shear for a bee. Now, the Pasuk says that there's a minimum shear for a mikveh and no minimum shear for a
bee. So the only question is maybe their Arbaim Sa' is Lav Dafka, maybe. The point is that a Mayan doesn't even need to have a revias. But that's an interesting question. I think somebody addresses that question. You'll have to read carefully as you read through the Beis Yosef and the Nosei Kelim LeShulchan Aruch. But if Mayan requires a revias, then you'll agree that it's out. If Mayan doesn't even require a revias, which would really work only for a machat, right, for a needle, then you have a possibility of saying that there is a chiluk midaraisa between Mayan and Mikvah, and that's legabe revias versus kolshu, and maybe that chiluk's only by Kalim. But it could be that by Adam, the chiluk would be kolshu versus Arboim Sa. Possible. Yes?
Just to go back to the Kankanim case for Rosh Hagad,
yes.
Is the maskana that isn't Tfisat Yedei Adam, or is the maskana that is Tfisat Yedei Adam, but it doesn't matter?
Number two. Because it said, you might think you can't have any tfisas yedei adam, just like a Mayan, doesn't it?
Yes,
you can, but...
Shuvim.
Correct. Yossi. In other words, all shuvim is an example of tfisas yedei adam, but tfisas yedei adam isn't necessarily shuvim.
The rule of mechubar, is it the case that not only like the ground surface has to be mechubar lekarka, but also that the walls themselves, that can the walls be kind of like above the ground, but not be... Does it have to be, inserted?
Probably it can be above the ground. If it's considered part of the karka, probably yes. That'd be my guess.
Ground, how's the water staying in?
What's that?
It's above the ground, how's the water...
You have walls.
Right.
Based on the ground.
So as long as the floor...
The walls are solid.
The walls... But where is the water contained?
The water... If you could dig down... You don't even have to dig down. If you build it with bricks and mud... And you build it into the ground. That's the way you build it. It will hold water.
So, but then it's all machubal karka.
So it's okay. So he's asking, does it have to be? Does it? He's asking, does it have to be below this? Does a mikveh have to be dug in such a way, or made in such a way that it's below the surface of the ground, below surface level? The answer, I think, is no.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so. I don't think it's impossible. I think you could have a mikveh on, I don't know if you have them, but I don't see why, is it impossible to have a mikveh on the second floor? I don't know.
But then the floor would not be connected to the ground, or it would be because...
No, because it's the building is a foundation, it's all.
As long as the structure is attached to the ground...
Correct.
That structure.
The only shaila that will come up later in the simen, which is a din in general, shaila mayim shuv, what if you have a kli at Sinor, she'chakako ulemisof kiva'o. First you hollow out the pipe, so now, assuming that makes it shum, assuming it holds, and then you're koveh it in the carcass, I think the Gemara says it's no good. Correct, that's what the problem might be with the bathtub. Not saying it's insurmountable, but chakako ulemisof kiva'o can be a problem. It may depend upon what your intent was when you made it. If intent matters, then a bathtub mistam is not a problem, because bathtubs are manufactured to be nikva bakarka. But if you made a pipe, which might not necessarily have been used in the Mechubar Lekarka, it could be used in other contexts, and then you Kovei Bekarka, so that would be no good, for sure. Everybody would agree on that. Okay. Fine. Yes?
What about, old-fashioned bathtubs that are not,
So I said those could be a problem, because they are... because they may not even be connected, because the pipe, although there is usually an outlet pipe that will connect, so then you have to decide whether that's really called mechubar or not. But that's where the question really arises. It's a strong argument made in our bathtubs, where they're fixed, they're become part of the house, in effect. You couldn't just unscrew something. Even the bathtubs that were mechubar, you could just unscrew the pipe at the bottom and move the bathtub, right? Whereas you can't, you can't do that with the standard, at least any bathtubs that I grew up with or in the house that I occupy now. Okay. Right. Tomorrow, we'll stop here. Tomorrow, I'd like to go through, I really touched upon most of the stuff. We'll read the Makoros and go to the Shulchan Aruch. You should go through the Beis Yosef. I don't think there are that many chidushin that we haven't already sort of touched upon. What I really want you just to see are what are the rayas in both directions. We've already seen one raya for the Ram and the Raya, the simple reading without Yehuda Se'ara is that the Arboim saw, let me say it differently. The Arboim saw here, if Arboim saw is the Raisa by Adam, then almost certainly this Sifra is a Raya for the Rambam and the Raya. Why? Because the Arboim saw that's required in the Torah here is for Adam, which means the Mayan, which is Bechoshehu, is in fact certainly good in the Torah, and there's no indication they did away with Midrabban. In other words, the Sifra here makes a distinction between Mayan and Mikvah with regards to Arboim saw. So if this Sifra is talking about Tfilas Adam, which the Pashto says it is, it's talking about all tefillah, then you see that Adam can go to a Mayan with less than Arboim Sa. And this is raya number one for the Rambam and the Ravid. Okay, we'll talk about the rest of the rayas one way or the other tomorrow.